and you'd like to read with us, in St. John, the 15th chapter, and I was just thinking today how many people there is in the world that classifies themselves as being a Christian, and yet they do not and don't want to obey the things of the Lord. It's a conscious decision. They just recognize, well, I'm a man or I'm a woman and I can't live like that, but yet I'm still a child of God. Well, you and I, unlike what most people believe, when we're forgiven, there's some restrictions put on us. God said we were bought with a price. We're not our own. And, you know, if I own something, I'll do with it as I please. What the neighbor thinks about what I do with that, it don't matter to me one bit because I own it. It's mine. Well, you and I, it don't make any difference what we think about what God requires. God just requires us to be obedient unto it. And, you know, I found some of the things that God required being awfully hard to do until I surrendered to God, and then it become easy. What made it so hard was when I was trying to pull another way and do yet what I knew God wanted me to do. But when you surrender to God, the things of the Lord becomes easy. He said, my yoke is easy. What makes it hard is when we're trying to pull the wrong way. And you and I today, God has not changed down up. After all these many centuries, God has not changed. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we can depend upon. Man's theories and thoughts on things change quite a bit. But yet when we come to the Word of the Lord, we can be confident that if time stands for another 1,000 years, God's Word will still be true. And man and all of the things that we declare today as being true will probably change. And you'll find things just as simple as definition of words change over the years according to how that we perceive that word. But God, when He sent His Word, it was for a purpose and it's going to accomplish it whether we want to recognize it or not. And when I sit and read the Word of God, I find God tells me what He requires, but He also tells me what that's going to happen to me if I don't live up to that. And if people would only recognize that we're being held accountable, and I want you to pay attention, there's a whole lot more in this scripture than we're going to be reading today. But I want you to pay attention to what we read. And then when you go through the Bible, you'll find this little word, if, is always put according to us. If we do so and so, God says He will. But you and I, He always put that word if there. Because He knows a lot of times man is not going to. And people today, they act like that ain't even in the Bible, the way that we live. But listen to this real close. In this 15th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 10th verse. Well, let's start at the 9th verse. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, look at that, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now here He put an if there for us, but then He said, as I have abideth in my Father. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, you and I, if we keep my other God's commandments, He said, you shall abide in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, here in justice that we read to you, if is in there twice, referring to us. And, you know, a lot of people, they'll read this and they say, well, we've been born again, so we are His friends. But He said, you are if you do whatsoever I command you. And then in that first part, there are all kinds of people say, well, I'm just abiding in the love of God. You are if you keep the commandments of God. And I was reading just a little bit in a book this morning, and it was talking about how that people over the years has referred to people as being carnal Christians, or this or that, and yet still Christians. And yet that is not what God teaches us in His Word. Right here, He was letting us know, if we do what we're supposed to, then we abide in the love of God. Then we are His friends. Then we are His children. But it also goes to say, if you don't do it, then you're not part of me. And today it's time for people to wake up and realize God's not going to change to suit man. But man must change to suit and please God if we want to have the blessings of God. You and I, if we go on a job of working for someone, and we go out there and they give us a job to do, and they lay down this thing, and what's required for us to do this job, and after a while they come back by, and we've been doing just the opposite of what they laid down. Do we really expect to keep our job? Do we really expect to get paid? Why, I was in a man, what the boss was saying, when you and I would be come before God, whether we like to admit it or not, God is a God of love, but He also is our ball, our commander, and we must abide by the faith that He said, because He said, if you keep my commandments. And, you know, a command is something that you're bound by. It's not just a suggestion, but it's something that you are bound to keep. You know, not too many people would think that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is just a suggestion and that we don't have to abide by. Why? Because if society just was let go and no one was held responsible for murders, the biggest majority of people in the world today would have somebody after their life. But you and I today, the only thing that keeps our society held together like that is people fear the price that they'd have to pay in court or in law for them breaking that. Well, God has told us what His commandments were. And truly today, if every time we broke it, if God was right there to demand payment at that very time for us breaking it, probably society would live a whole lot different. But because God does not require us to pay for our mistakes, our sins, and our failure, this very moment, we thank within our mind and our heart, we're going to give by. But God has told us, when our life comes to an end, we're going to be judged by all of the decisions, all of the things that we did. And there we're going to find out where God looked down and see that we would not abide by His commandment. We're going to find out that it'll work if there is meant something. Why? the punishment for disobedience. And, you know, the Bible says to know to do good and to do it not. To him it is sin. Well, you and I, if we know God's requiring us to keep his commandments, and that's more than just the ten. That's all of the Word of God, all of the instructions of what that a Christian is supposed to be. If we know we should do them, and that it's good to obey those things, why do we think that it's okay if we disobey them? Why do we think that it's not being marked down against us as sin? You know, Paul, and there when he was talking to King Agrippa and telling him the story of when Christ appeared to him there on the road to Damascus. What was it that Christ said to him? He said, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Paul was just going persecuting the Christian people because they were going different to what the old Jewish law had been. But they didn't realize that it been fulfilled. If they really read and studied it, they would have seen that Christ was their word, that they were supposed to be looking for. But because that they did not believe that, Paul was out there doing what he thought was right. But then when Christ appeared to him, Christ let him know, Paul, you're not doing this under the Christian, but you're doing it under me. Paul, you're persecuting me. You're not just slandering, though. You're not just compelling me to deny me. But Paul, you're persecuting me. You're not. When we disobey the things of God, we might say, it's just some preacher that said it. It's just something wrote in a book. Christ said, I'm the living word. We're denying God the power that he's supposed to have in our life. We're saying by action, I know better than what you say, because I can determine what's best for myself. And yet God tells me and you that if we do not obey him, it's going to carry a punishment. And you know, I've seen people in life that I truly felt like that was bearing the punishment of their disobedience toward God. But there's all kinds of people that will not find out just how bad that it is until the death angel calls, and then they stand before God undone because they fail to abide by what God said. And you and I today, we can read God's Word and we can see what it says. And here he said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You know, I don't know a one that's ever come to know God that has ever said in any way, shape, form, or fashion that they had a better friend than what God was. You know, I've had people here in this life that I felt like was good friends here, but I was not comfortable about telling them all of the things that was in my heart, all of the things that was in my mind, or all of the things that I had done in my life because I was afraid of what they might think of me because of how that I had done in the past. Yet when I come before God, God already knows about it. And yet he showed forth love and forgiveness. God showed me and proved to me, even when I was in sin, that he loved me. So what better friend could a man have when you get right with God than to have that one you can talk to about your innermost feelings? Why? Because he knows, he understands what's there. A lot of times people will say, oh, yeah, but I just don't know anybody that has the problems I have. I don't know anybody that's in faith with a temptation that I am. Christ said, say in the Bible, you were tempted in all ways, and me and you
We will never face a temptation that will not present it on the throne. But yet,
through it all, he resisted the temptations and the things of the devil and was still obedient under command of his Father. He said right there in what we read to you, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, even there unto the garden right before he was being crucified. Now, if you'll read your Bible and study this out, you'll find that what we read to you here is what he was teaching the disciples on the way to the garden just the night before he was to be crucified. And Christ there in that garden that night realized that, even made the statement, I could call for the angel to come and deliver me. But his will was to keep the Father's commandment and to do the will of the Father, even unto death. He wanted to live. That old natural body of man, it wanted to live. But he said, not my will, thy will be done. Me and you, there might be a lot of playing here in this life that the devil's hanging out there. There might be a temptation to it. It might even be what God's asking of it. We might have to deny what we want to do to ourselves this very day. But yet when we obey, we find we've got a friend there. In the darkest hour, in the time that nobody else seems to care, we can call upon it and find he's right there present. Why, if we're obedient, we can depend upon it. He'll always be there for me every year.
And I'm so thankful that God has proven himself. No place in the Bible do you find where there's an if in front of what God said he would do. The if is always in front of what we're supposed to do. If we keep it. If we do it. God always made it a positive statement what he would do. And me and you, you know, you look back there, Abraham, when he was taking Isaac to offer him there on the altar. He said to his son, God will provide himself a lamb. And he told the men at the foot of the mountain, you tarry here while me and the lad go yonder to worship and return. Abraham knew what promise God had made. But he also knew what God was asking of him. Abraham didn't know how it was going to turn out. But he knew, I'm going to do all that God asked of me. And he went so far as to raise the knife in obedience to the God. To take the boy's blood. And the angels stopped it. And there was the sacrifice provided there for a day. But then a grown child, God seen that they was going to need to be a sacrifice provided for me and you. And his son was there, and he come and was obedient under the Father's will, even under them. You and I today, what is it if we're obedient under God, under the death of this body? If we prove a joy that we truly love it, that we're willing to keep his commandment, that's what it required of all women, being obedient unto them. You and I today, if we are,
we'll find that the testimony that Paul gives of what was waiting him will also be there awaiting us. And I'm so thankful that God has proven his love. God has proven that he cares. He's just waiting for me and you to prove that we do. And, you know, a parent does not feel like their child really loves them and cares for them when that child is rebelling against everything that they tell it being disobedient and disrespectful. That parent will sit and wonder, why don't they love me? After all that I've done, when I took care of them when they was little, I see that they had food, they had clothes, they had a warm place to live. They had a good place to lay down and sleep. I provided all of that. And yet they show no respect, no love whatsoever. What is wrong with them? What do you think God looks down when you and I are being disobedient after all that He's done for us? We might say with our mouth, oh, I love Him. Just like that kid may say someday when they're not rebelling, He loves you. But it's a hard thing to believe when everything else is pointing the other direction in Him. You and I, we may tell God, oh, we love Him. But when all we do is disobey, He knows what's in the heart. And it's not love, is it? You know, according to the Bible, when we rebel against God, it's because we're obeying the things of the devil. And we're serving one of two masters. We're either serving God or we're serving the devil. And whether we like it or not, if we're being disobedient unto what God is asking of us, don't expect to be looked upon as a child. You're not. The Bible said if we don't take the chastisement, then we're not children. We're bastards. We're not sons. And each and every one of us, obedience is far better than sacrifice. And though there have been many of a time I've had to get on my knees and pray and ask God to forgive me because I did not do what that I should have done for Him. And though I found forgiveness and found mercy and love, I found also that when I obeyed the voice of the Lord, the joy was far greater. I have to get down and humble myself and repent for disobedience. You and I today, each one of us, the joy in a Christian life that's lived in obedience unto God is surpassed any joy that we can find here in this world. That's why the world cannot understand what a Christian, what pleasure they have in life. But you know, there is people that have spent great wealth trying to find happiness when all it was right there within reach of them, just coming and living a life before God that was acceptable in His sight and find true happiness. Why don't we get some song to sing? When God looks down upon you, does He see that you are obeying this, living like He said, or does He see that you're not? And you and I, you know, with each one of these, you know, a lot of times people, we read the command of God and the blessing that's pronounced upon us when we obey the commands, but it goes without saying, if you disobey it, there's also a curse pronounced upon them. And each one of us, we need to realize God takes this very serious. I don't know how to explain it better than to say He takes it so serious that He gave His Son to pay the price. And, you know, as I've watched some of the news programs and see some of the parents where their children died in the war, and you'll see some that's so bitter and others come out so humble and talk about how that they love this nation and how their child loved this nation, that they was willing to go and die for the freedom that we all enjoy. And others come out and just act like it was awful. It was such a waste.
and they don't treasure what we have here in America. Well, you and I today, I'm afraid a lot of times that's the way we are before God. We don't treasure what it is that God has given it to us because we didn't have to pay the price for it. But you see that parent that carried their child when they prayed on it, you see their tears. It's just in your heart. Well, what did it do? The Lord of God to see his son die that you and I might have love. And then to see just how men and women today counted his mother when he paid such a price. You see their father whose son died for that flag of America. You see somebody out there trying to tear it down or destroy it. Watch out, man, his anger rising. Why his son died for that? You and I, God looked down and required a righteous love. Why his son died for that? To make it obtainable for you and I. And we better realize that nothing less than us giving God our all is going to be accepted. While we stand and sing, will you come? I know we cannot do good enough to save ourselves. But when we accept what Christ did, then we must live the life that Christ wants us to live, or we will stand before God and be judged guilty. Each and every one of us, Christ made the way, and he tells us for us to keep ourselves unspotted from the things of the world. By that, he's requiring us to take inventory regularly and see just what he reveals unto us of our shortcomings, our failings. And when we see them, get on our knees and repent.